Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, Blog Talk listeners. You have joined in tonight to my sister, my friend. Thank you so much for joining us tonight. It is a pleasure to come back to you once again in the first Monday of the new year of 2014. I hope that you had a wonderful, wonderful set of holidays, and I'm wishing God's blessings on each of you. Tonight, we are here to let you know that we still are here for our sisters of all ages, creeds, colors, educations, married women, single women, sisters, and just all the women that need us. We're here for the believers, the students, the housewives. Tonight we have a special show for you with a special guest. We have on the line. Okay. Good evening. Good evening. Good evening, Blog Talk listeners. I'm sorry for the interruption. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Ladies,
yes.
Are you there? Okay, I'm very sorry. My phone hung up and I had to go away and come to another computer. But thank you so much for holding on, and thank you for your patience. Tonight, we've had our introduction. That was a pre-recorded introduction. But I do want to say thank you, our listening audience, for being patient with us tonight. And we're very happy to be back on live tonight with a special guest who is an author. And we're going to go ahead and let Minister Henderson introduce our guest tonight.
All right. Good evening, ladies.
Good evening.
Okay. Tonight we are interviewing Mrs. Demetria LeBlanc, who is a freelance writer as well as a teacher of the Word of God. She's also a graduate of Laterno University, and she has a passion to minister to young women, and she serves in many capacities at her church, in organizations and teaching development. Demetria knows that she was commissioned by God to write this awesome book, which is named Good Sense Guide to Godly Womanhood, Daughters of Divine Destiny. Presenting to some and introducing to others, Ms. Demetria LeBlanc.
Thank you. Good evening, ladies. First and foremost, I want to give all praises, honor, and glory to God who has purposed me with this mission. And I want to give a special thanks to you, Reverend Henderson, for the opportunity to share with you all on tonight.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen. Thank you for being a part of our show tonight. We do appreciate your time. And just go ahead and tell us a little bit about yourself and what God commissioned.
Okay. Well, my name is Demetria LeBlanc, D for short. I'm the mother of three sons and the grandmother of four. And I have been with my sweetheart, Christopher LeBlanc, for 27 years. My reason for writing this book, Daughters of Divine Destiny, which means child of God with a God-like nature and preordained future, was because I always had a heart for young women to do better. I see how Satan is ruining their lives, and they just don't have a clue. So I'm on assignment to do as it says in Titus 2, 3, and 5, where the older women teach the younger women, because I feel that the younger women, they're lost, and we don't have enough mentors mentoring them. And you can look on the TVs, you can go in the schools, you can go on the streets and just see how lost these young women are. And they're not coming to the church like their parents was bringing them. Their parents are not coming, so they're not coming. And so we need to go out and reach them. And so God put on my heart that I needed to write a book where it could go everywhere, and it could reach out to the ones that don't come to the church and for the ones that do come to the church. And with that, have workshop conferences and retreats to bring the book to life and to just kind of mentor them on a personal level.
Amen. Hello.
So that's my reasoning for writing the book and God's purpose for it.
Well, how long have you had this vision or purpose?
Actually, God gave it to me 2 years ago. I was at work one day, and it was just like an epiphany. He said, you know, it spoke to my spirit and said, your purpose is to write a book. And I was like, okay, I'm all excited about it and everything, and was happy because I was searching for my purpose. You know how you get caught up into the monotony of life and you just want to do something different. And I always wanted to know what my purpose was for God. And I always had a passion to write poetry, just to write, and I read a lot. So when he said that, that just really, you know, really excited me. And when I got off into writing the book, he dealt with me on a lot of issues that I really didn't want to deal with. And then he said that, you know, the only way you could publish this book is that you do deal with those issues, because that's what my daughters are suffering from. And for you to mentor to them, you have to become transparent. And it took a while for me to become transparent because, you know, I'm a private person. I don't like to everybody knowing my business and knowing my trials and tribulations. And I think that's a lot of the problems nowadays. A lot of the older women, once they have made it over, they don't want to go back and share that side of themselves that got them over. And that's the missing link. Because they think that the older women didn't go through anything because they see the glory, but they don't know the story. And God said they need to know the story. So he wanted me to share my story, and it took me 6 months to work through. The writing didn't take long, but the purging and the writing of my story took a while for me to just give myself to God and say, use me as you would have me to use me, and it's not about me. It's all about you and for your glory, God.
Amen. Was that real hard for you, or was it, you said purge. As you purged, did it get easier through the purging, or was that something that you had to really work through also as you began to write?
It did get easier through the purge, but it took some time. What he did was, in the book, I wrote about an incident that I had with suicide, and that was a topic that I buried deep down and really forgot about. Like, it was so, forgot about it so bad, to, it wasn't even a part of who I was. He had to bring it back to my remembrance. And when he brought it back to my remembrance, he walked me through the feelings and the mindset, and he just let me experience it all over again as if I was actually that girl, that 16-year-old girl back then. And as I relived it, I cried and shed it for that girl, and I dealt with it as I never dealt with it before, because I buried it. And we bury a lot of things. We cover it up instead of dealing with it. We put a Band-Aid over it. So he had me to take that Band-Aid off and to remove that scab and just deal with the rawness of it. And once I dealt with it, I felt a cleansing, and I felt a refreshing. And to this point where there was something that I couldn't talk about, let alone write about, to the point that I could scream it from the mountaintop now and feel freedom. Yes, I feel free. So it the purging, as it did get easier as I released it and as I let God to work through me.
Amen. Very good. Well, Minister Henderson, I'm going to go ahead and turn this over to you. I've asked a couple of questions, and I'm sorry that I succeeded you, but go ahead and yes. And Beverly, if you have anything, any questions, just jump in, please.
Well, I do want to make a statement on Chapter 7, Sister LeBlanc, under life skills. I think that is so imperative that we have gotten away from that, how our mothers and grandmothers taught us how to set the table.
Mm-hmm.
It's shame to say that 53 years old, I've forgotten how to properly set a table. So I thank you for the guide in the book.
Oh, you're so welcome.
I thank you for putting this in here, because we find that as we get younger, that there are a lot of things that we forget along the way.
That's true.
And when I got to the life skills and I set at the table, I'm like, oh my God, I've been looking for this. And then you have it right here, and I said, good, we can teach our young girls at the church this very thing. And these are things that are very important that the world has walked away from.
Right.
Well,
exactly.
Not just a whole world, but let's say majority of society mm-hmm. has gotten away from. I noticed that in the very upscale restaurants, it used to be you had to go in a certain way because you were sitting with a certain clientele. But now everything has become so relaxed to the respect mm-hmm. of it's gone. Also, under life skills, is telling you about the attire to wear to church.
Exactly.
You know, everybody
yeah.
has become so lackadaisical. Well, it doesn't matter. You say, come as you are. He's not meaning outward appearance. He's talking about in your heart.
That's exactly right. Yes.
Well, mm-hmm. I like it all, but I really love chapter 7 because these are the basic things that society has really stepped away from.
Yes, you are so right. I mean, when I was writing the book, God said, make it plain, make it simple, and take it back
yeah.
to the basics. You know, a lot of the things our mothers would have taught us, it's not carried over. And so a lot of the young women now don't know how to care for a home. They don't know how to do these yeah. different things. And it's not the point that they don't want to know. It's that they're not being taught. Yeah, exactly. So I wanted to bring that. Well, God had me to put that in there just as a worth builder for a woman in general.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, I'll tell you what, it helped this woman.
Wonderful.
I needed that. You know, and it just means that you missed because I just remember going to all the family dinners. You know, when you go to grandma's house, the table had to be set, the matching serving bowls, and I'm big on that now, but I had gotten mm-hmm. away from how to properly set a table. So
right,
I really
right.
thank you for that. Thank you
oh,
for that.
You're welcome. You're definitely welcome. Yeah, I know a lot of...
Ma'am?
Oh, go ahead.
I also was looking at the chapter number 6 where you talk about sex.
Uh-huh.
I think it's so imperative, and I do like the fact where you says parental guidance, you know, parental discretion is advised if they're under 18, which is so good. But I also love how you broke down the STDs because so many of our young men and women and older men and women, you know, is just hopping from bed to bed and not thinking about the consequences.
Correct.
Along
right.
the way.
Mm-hmm.
And what could come out of a one-night stand or a one-minute stand, shall we say, you know. And, and it's because we find ourselves looking for love in all the wrong places.
That
I was sharing
so
with Evangelist Tatum a few minutes ago because God made woman, we have to be affirmed.
Mm-hmm.
So when she's at get that affirmation from her dad, she's looking for it from every man. And
yes,
then the young
true.
Man, he's looking for the validation from his father that he has become a man.
Right, that's true.
And
yeah.
I'm like, boy, I tell you, you know, the role of our fathers are so important in our lives.
Yeah, it really is.
Yes.
And when you don't have that missing link, it kind of alters your life, you know, in the way that it could be. Because me being a female without a father, I didn't get validated as a young woman, you know,
uh-huh.
that you're beautiful,
uh-huh.
that you're, you know, your worth is valuable. I didn't get that validation, so therefore, I did look to get my validations from the male figure. Because that
uh-huh.
meant something, and that was the missing link. Yeah.
Yeah. And then I also like the fact on your cover, it just simply states, you are more than one dimension. You are 3D, daughters of divine destiny. The book is also letting us know, young and old, that first of all, we are divine appointment. We were not mistakes.
That's
and
right.
And destiny
That's right.
is in our view.
Mm-hmm.
And you use one of my favorite scriptures, Jeremiah 29:11, where he said, I know the thoughts that I think toward you. And if we could just get the young girls and the young adult girls to wrap their minds around the word of God, and even some of us seasoned women, to wrap our minds around the word of God, because as your first chapter says, knowing your worth,
right,
first and
right.
foremost.
Exactly. It all starts with that. Yes, definitely.
It all starts with knowing your worth, knowing that you're valuable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, at first you have to know that you're valuable to yourself. You're valuable to God, and therefore you're valuable to others. So I really do believe that God has really instructed you to write this book for such a time as now.
For such a time as now,
the days and the times in which we live. Because, you know, I know you told me it's 13 and up, you know, teenagers or preteen to young adult, but this book blessed me at 53. You know, so so whoever don't have one, I would suggest you get the Woman of God's information and get a book because it's very informative, very easy to read, and straight to the point.
Amen. Well, I see we have some other callers on the line. I was wondering if anyone would like to have asked our guest a question or have a comment. If you have the book, if you would like to jump in on our conversation, go right ahead. If not, we'll let Minister Henderson continue to do her interview. Does anyone have any questions or comments? Okay. I guess they don't. So go ahead, Minister Henderson. Continue.
And also, Sister LeBlanc, when you were writing this, I heard you share with Sister Lewis that as he began to purge you, and that's the thing, as we come face to face with things that God instructs us to do, he has to take us back. Do you agree to things that we, as you said, buried, tucked away?
Yeah, definitely. You know, a lot of times when we bury things, we you know, we want to forget that that ever happened. We don't work through it. We just bury it. And so it's like it's so deep that a lot of our subconsciously, because it's buried, our actions, sometimes our actions, the way we respond to certain things is based off of that buried hurt, but we don't really realize it because we never dealt with it. And so I think in order for us to be free, we have to, you know, unbury those things and deal with them and have God to purge us of them so that we can be free.
Amen. And so do you feel like that once you receive the purging on whatever areas that he brought back to your remembrance and now that you're free, you can reach back and free someone else?
Oh, definitely, because there's nothing holding me back. I mean, I always say that Satan gets us in the secrecy. You know, he wants us to keep things secret because he knows that if we bring it to light, that we can experience that freedom. And so we feel like we're protecting ourselves if we keep it, you know, keep a secret. But I'm learning that when we learn how to get purged, you know, through the Holy Spirit, and then we're able to go back and help somebody else because we're free of that thing, so we can help somebody else get free of it as well.
Amen. And do you agree that once you become free of a situation, a burden, or a situation, a circumstance, or whatever it is that we've encountered in past or present life, when we share that thing, if we have a sense of Shady World has a woman's retreat coming up saying, free me from my freedom. So it gives you a sense of total freedom.
It really does. It really does because dealing with the suicide, I felt really bound by it. It was like nobody in my family knew about it except for the immediate family. So it was a secret. It was something I was ashamed of, something that, you know, I didn't know why it was happening. But when God took me back to the place, he showed me how Satan had came into my mind. You know, that's where he gets us in our mind and how he just controlled it and how I didn't fight because I didn't have the word. I had the word, but I didn't know how to apply the word. And that's what a lot of times, you know, our parents would take us to church and we would hear those songs, we would hear the word, but we don't really know how to apply that to our lives or our situations. And so he took me back to that place to show me that, you know, yeah, you go to church and they go to church or they hear the word, but they need to know how to apply that to their lives and they need help in doing that. Yeah.
That's great. That's great, because even in applying it, you know, the scripture says, thy word have I hid in my heart that I would not sin against you. So I do agree with you. As we grew up, we went, but we were never taught how to take it and hide it in there. So in the day of adversity, we could recall, you know, the Holy Spirit would have something to recall to our remembrance. So, you know, as our fourth says, this book has been a blessing to me. I love the color. I love the pink and the yellow. It's very feminine, very, it gets your attention. And also, like I said, it's very straightforward, very simple. And I do like the fact that you have questions and reflection at the end of each chapter.
Mm-hmm.
So it gives you an opportunity to express what you've learned. And then I love the fact that you have the reference guide, that as you talk of this STDs and the Center for Control for Diseases and other areas, you have those references here, which are very important because you don't have to go looking for it. Everything is like a one-stop shop in this book, you know, speaking of your work all the way to respect, friendship, hygiene, dating and relationships, sex, life skills, college and career, your salvation, and words of wisdom. So I really think that God just really ordered your steps when he gave this to you. I really believe that.
Thank you, and I really appreciate it. To God be all the glory. It's a funny thing, you should mention the colors. The way they came about was I was trying to design the cover, and what came to me, my little granddaughter, she was walking around here, and she had on some loud colors, and it was pink and yellow, and I'm like, that really stands out. But then God put in my spirit, the pink represents daughter, and the yellow represents his spirit within the daughter. And so that's the meaning behind the colors.
Beautiful, wonderful.
Listeners, do our callers, do you have any questions? You can dial 310-982-4126 and talk to Ms. Demetria LeBlanc, the author of Daughters of Divine Destiny. Give us a call with any of your questions or concerns. In a little bit, we'll get her information as to how we can obtain this wonderful literature. Wherever it is being sold. So give us a call if you have any questions or concerns and want to talk to Ms. LeBlanc. But I do have a question. I was sitting here thinking about the Band-Aids. I was just wondering if you would just give us a little insight on why we use these Band-Aids instead of just going ahead and freeing ourselves and, you know, opening up. You know, to our certain situations that you were discussing in the book.
I really believe that we use the Band-Aids because it's easier. And, you know, to purge and to really dig down deep and to deal with the thing that's holding us down, those strongholds, it takes work. I know Ayanna Van Sant, she always say you have to do your work. And to remove that Band-Aid, it takes work because when I was removing my Band-Aid, it was very painful. You know, when you remove a scab off of a wound, it hurts. Mm-hmm. And so it was very painful, and it was very, I guess you could say the most I felt was pain. I felt pain and I felt hurt. I felt hurt for the little girl that was suffering and didn't know any better. And I felt pain from, you know, what could have happened, the what ifs, you know, if that would have materialized. So I really believe the reason why we put Band-Aids on our situations because it's a lot easier to get us to deal with that situation and just move on. But if we really had to do the work, we'll have to live through the emotions. We'll have to deal with the emotions. And sometimes we'll have to deal with the people that cause those emotions. So it's just a lot easier to put a Band-Aid on it and go on and, you know, just try to make it through another day, even though that's still buried, even though that's a baggage that we're carrying that we need to release. It's just easier.
Okay, yeah. But do you feel like that carrying that baggage for a number of years could cause mental and physical illnesses and injuries to your body? Can you explain it to our listeners to let them know that carrying the baggage, about carrying baggage?
Oh, definitely. I mean, it's just like when you put on too much weight, you know, it brings off diseases and things within your body. That's the same way when you're carrying that emotional baggage. You know, like I said, you bury it for a long time, but it comes out subconsciously when you're not even thinking about it through a situation because of the residue of what you have buried inside of you. So, yes, it is that baggage. It is harmful to you, and it does hurt you. It does hurt your body, just as any disease would. And you know how you would take medicine to get rid of that. You need to take them. You need to do what you need to do to purge it from you, in order so that you can get free and that it won't live in you. Yeah.
Amen. Well, I'm a believer that if you face those fears or whatever the problems that you've been through in life, head on and straightforward and. Just walk yourself through them or help have someone walk with you with those. They're easier to get through and to be able to purge. What would you say about that?
I really agree. That's what Daughters of Divine Destiny is all about, is walking with those girls through those different situations and being transparent and open and honest and being just a genuine person for them to get to the other side. I had the pleasure of attending a rap session on Saturday, and we had a lot of the foster girls there, and they have been through a lot. It really was an enlightenment and an eye-opener of what our children are going through, especially our girls. I know our boys, love of God, have called me to young women first and foremost because they produce children that produce another generation that go through a lost cycle of values and just a good upbringing. And when we were doing the rap session, a lot of the different things that they had went through, molestation, drug use at the age of 10 and 11, it just hurt my heart. And a lot of them, their first defense against those things were the people that were doing it to them, their parents, their aunts, their uncles, people that they should be able to go to and trust is there, you know, causing the harm to them. So, yes, I definitely would say that they need somebody to help them get out of the fire because they're lost. They don't know any better, and they do need help. They do need guidance. And I really feel that we need to be, as a Christian base, and as churches, we need to be more actively involved in our children's lives and not just do business as usual, you know, another church service, another church function. We really need to get down to the business of ministering to, you know, doing God's work and reaching them, you know, with the relationship and hands-on showing them and loving them through that.
Amen.
I have a question.
Go ahead.
Do you think that a lot of it occurs because some people are still living under the standard of what happens in my house stays in my house?
Oh, for sure. And we had that discussion, you know, a lot of them will not talk because, you know, when you're outside, you have to have a certain, you know, you have to put on a certain facade, you know, to let everybody outside think that everything is okay. And that's another version of putting on that Band-Aid, you know, you're trying to cover up and let people only see what you want them to see, but inside you're all tore up. And until we start being real and start dealing with those things, Satan is just trying, just causing chaos all over the place. But it's more important to save face than it is to save a life. And that's what the tragedy is in the situation.
I think also it's the opening up, perhaps maybe to the wrong person, and then you confide in them something, and instead of them helping the situation, it's just used to just a conversation piece instead of helping to heal the person. Now all the business is out, and I think that's what a lot of people feel the shame from of. Well, I told them in confidence, and now I hear them, you know, I tell my best friend, but my best friend has a best friend that tells their best friend to tell. Now everybody knows the pain and the hurt, but they're not helping the situation. They're only making the situation worse.
And you know what? That is so true. And a lot of times, you know, maybe we don't need to go to somebody that we know and that is, you know, somebody that's close that can that could speak to other people over our lives. You know, we need to seek out help. It's help all over, you know, but we just look to our inner circle. And I think sometimes we need to go outside our inner circle to get the help that we need. That way we won't be so, you know, fearful of the judgmental or the repercussions that will come back on us. Because you're right, people are not sincere. They could be in your face telling you, yes, I'm afraid for you, yes, I feel so bad, I'm going to help you any way I can. And the next minute they're telling, they only saying that so they can get more information out of you so they could go and repeat your story and you be the topic of somebody else's conversation. You're definitely right. And that's why you have to have that discerning spirit to know who you need to share your information with. And that's why it's so important to have a relationship.
The issue that I find with that
is once a trust has been broken, like you said, most of the time when things happen to people or to young ladies or young men or whomsoever, I know when something happened to me that changed me, it was the people that I trust. So then I got a trust issue at that time in my life where I didn't trust anyone, you know, and it took me until, I'm talking recent years, for me to question God and ask God why I was this way or that way for him, and then be quiet and silenced and seek him for him to tell me about something that happened to me a long, long time ago to make the connection of, that's why I don't trust. That's why I can give you everything but me. I can give you my money. I can give you my time. I can give you everything but me. I can give you parts of me. I can give you my body, but I will never give you my heart. And I questioned God about that. I was like, why do I not trust enough, I love enough to give somebody all of me? People have had pieces of me. People can tell you different pieces and stages of my life, but not one person can tell you a total detail of my life because I had trust issues with people. I tell you this, but I won't tell you that. I'll tell you, you know what I'm saying? And no one person, even to this day, cannot tell you all Janice. They can tell you, oh, I knew her when she was like this, or I knew her when she was like that. I've known her since Christ have came into her life. But no one person can really say from A to B, not even my mother, because there are things that I know that she wouldn't understand or it would hurt her. So when you get hurt at that point, you get trust issues. And telling someone, even a stranger, you wouldn't do, because you don't trust anybody, because that trust has been broken. So sometimes it takes someone just like you to see that in you, to then build a foundation for you to trust them enough for you to open up to them, so you can help, have someone to help you take that Band-Aid off. Put a little something soft on there so it won't hurt so much when you snatch it off. To let That's you know not you're it. Not the only one that has a Band-Aid. And even some of us who have taken a Band-Aid off, sometimes you wish you would have kept that Band-Aid on because you wouldn't have had to deal with everything you had to deal with.
And, you know, that is true.
You know, it makes it better that you did, because you can be a help to someone else. But just taking that Band-Aid off, and I took mine was taken off by God, just him and I. I didn't have someone that I could tell what I was feeling to, because I still had the trust issue.
Right.
And it's a big thing, because for me personally, I don't ever feel like, as far as a man and woman or whatever, you know, well, man and woman ain't no whatever for me, but that I've had that. Well, I've been being honest. I ain't experimenting. But I've had that true love that you want from a husband or a boyfriend or whatever, you know, your husband or your boyfriend. I keep saying whatever. I don't mean it like another female. I haven't had that. Because I don't feel that I've ever totally loved anyone, because I never really trust you enough to give you all of me.
Right. And, you know, that's the part when I say you have to do your work. You know, you can't live through past hurts, and that's part of purging. And a lot of times when we say when we trust somebody, we don't make them show themselves trustworthy. And in the book, I talk about how you choose a friend and the different attributes you need to look for in a friend, and if you want to trust in a friendship, in a relationship, and how you would go about getting there. By you won't tell them, you know, it's like a trial and error kind of thing. You give them a little bit, you see if they pass that test, and you go to the next one. But you don't give them all of it at one time, because it's a tried and true relationship that you gotta, you know, see if they're gonna show up each time, so you'll know how far you can go. So I don't know how you went about, you know, saying that you trust somebody. If they say, hey, you know, I got you, you know, me and you are cool, I'm not going to say anything. Me, myself, I'm more on actions. Your actions are going to speak louder to me than your words. You could tell me what you're going to do, but I'm watching you to see if your words lining up with your actions. And that's another thing. We trust too easily because we don't give a person a chance to show us who they truly are. We just take them at their word. And you can't take anybody at their word. They're going to show you who they are. You just watch, wait, and just look. But a lot of times we're too trusting.
Even with that, I have some ride or die. I'm not kidding. Mm-hmm. I have some friends that I've known since the seventh grade. You know, they're trustworthy friends. It wasn't them that had the issue.
Right.
You know, they are trustworthy. They have never did. I have some friends that never did anything. I've never heard anything that I told them back. It was because it was my issue. You know what I'm saying?
That's that baggage that you're carrying around. That's that baggage that you're carrying around. Uh-huh.
Right.
And that's why I said you need to purge that.
Trust me, he broke it down. What I'm saying is that's why a lot of things are people hurt for so long. For one thing, they always feel like no one is going to understand. It's not necessarily that it hasn't happened to anyone else, but they feel like no one is going to understand. And then if it went on longer than they think in their mind that it should have went on, they're thinking that they're somehow going to be blamed for the situation. And so they just get into themselves, and they're not allowing anyone to show their trust to them because all they know is the person that they did trust in life, hurt them or, did something to strip that trust away. And when the younger it happened, the harder it is to trust again.
That's
because
true. And especially,
especially
if you don't have the tools to release that, that anger, that resentment.
You just build up more and more walls, more and more layers, and blocking more and more people out. Because I know for myself, I had a wall build up, and I prayed all the time, Lord, can you just take it down? And he's like, you got to start knocking it down. Because if I didn't start knocking it down, then I would still have trust issues. That's how I built up my trust in God and myself. I had to learn how to trust myself again, that it wasn't my fault. I didn't do anything wrong, because you lose not only trust in other people, you lose trust in your judgment. Because
once
you take that band-aid off, you start wondering, how could I have let that happen?
That's true.
So it's a total character rebuild in Christ.
Exactly. And, that's the key. It's in Christ. God is forgiving and he's loving. And, when I took my Band-Aid off, I was like, well, how could I be so, stupid? And that's one thing. You're so shameful. That's the main thing. You're so shameful you don't want to share it with anybody, because you think you should have been above that. You should have caught on to that. Yeah. Yeah, but
that's a big trick of the enemy is to keep it silent, so that if someone else is going through it, even when I went through my divorce, when I came out of my divorce and I continued on through college and got my degree, I had someone say, Auntie, you were still in school all this time? And I had to tell, I can't lose focus on what God has planted in me because of my situation or my circumstance. I got to deal with all of that at the same time within Christ. I'm doing everything through Christ. But if you don't have Christ, you get lost.
And that's exactly what's happening. And if you look at the young women today, they don't have Christ. And you see what life is like without Christ. They are totally lost. Mm-hmm.
And it's hard to get through to them because they think we're preaching at them about things when it's actually, I'm telling you because I've been there, done that, don't want you to have to go through that. You know what I'm saying? But sometimes they don't see it. Sometimes they don't have an opening ear, and it's because the trust issue, because they may think you saying one thing in their face but doing something else behind their back. It's a lot of trust. Like I said, it's a lot of trust issues going on, and they really need someone they can trust with them.
Wow.
Not necessarily a physical, but a mental them who won't get tired of going and building them back up when they fall down and continuously letting them know it's a process. We're all going through a process. No things are complete yet.
Right. And and that's one thing God revealed to me and write in the book. The book is where it could go anywhere. You won't have to sit down and preach to anybody, but he said they need to know from A to Z. And you could just give it to them and say, read it, and call me or, we could talk about it or just read it. And in the back of the book, I have the website where they could go on there and they could write down their questions or whatever, and then just, you know, I would answer it or send it back. So they don't even have to see me. I don't even have to know them, but they could get godly wisdom. And so that's another tool that God wanted me to use in order to reach out to them, because sometimes, you know, they're so keen on technology and everything that they'll send a text or write, you know, something down faster than they would call or talk to you or want to meet up with you. So he said, you know, make it a line available to people to reach out to you. So I don't know you from A to Z, so, you know, I'm really, you just trusting the advice that I give you.
Right, I can be free to say what I want. You don't know me, I don't know you. I can ask any question I want. And I ain't got to worry about seeing you with your eyes and sucking your teeth.
That's right, exactly. You don't have to worry about me judging you because I don't even know you. I don't even know how you look. Yes, exactly.
Right.
So you could feel free to be open. Exactly.
Well, I do have one question that I wanted you to touch on. It's the older women today. Why are they so closed mouth about things, and they are not wanting to follow what God has told them to do as far as helping the younger women through these issues and talking to them and being transparent? What would be the reason why they don't want to do that?
I think, in my own personal opinion, I think they don't want to share their story. They're probably ashamed by it. They don't want to be transparent. They haven't worked through some of the things that they have went through in order to be able to share with them. Because for me, if I tell you, I put the book on the shelf for 6 months and say, I just can't do it, Lord. I just can't be that open. I mean, this is a book, so it could not be anywhere, anytime, you know, and me attached to it. And I just don't want, you know, when you put yourself out there, you put yourself out there to be judged, to be just be on Front Street for everybody to see. You know, that's your business. And so I'm a very private person. Like she was saying with the trust issue, I don't tell people my business and this and that because I would deal with me and the Lord or, you know, my mom, somebody that I know that I could truly trust. But he said, no, this is what you're going to have to do. And if you're doing it for me and not for your glory, you need to get it together and be able to do it. So I'm thinking that a lot of the women, they can't be transparent because it takes a lot to be transparent in order for you to share with somebody and not know that they just wanted to have information. Well, you know, so-and-so used to do this or do that. And I was so amazed to see the story of Maya Angelou, looking at the woman that she is today or was today. She was a prostitute. She was a madam. She was all those things. That was her past, and she wasn't ashamed to share that. But to know her story and to see the glory that God gave her, that's awesome. That is awesome.
Yeah,
so
was awesome.
They haven't she was, and they haven't got the point that what's in your past don't define your future. And so what they want, they have these girls thinking that, you know, they have always arrived and that they have always been this way. They never drank, they never had sex, you know, with somebody's husband or anything like that. They want them to think that they have always been mis-sanctified, and that's not the story. And they feel like if they do tell the story, that they might be disrespected because they're not on that pedestal anymore.
I think that they're going to say, well, how can you tell me something when you did it? Well, that's what I did. That's why I can tell you how your outcome is going to be, you know. I don't think that they have enough confidence in, you know, in their walk in Christ to know that if he's leading you to do this, he is protecting your anointing. He is protecting who you are in him at all times. And so if he's setting up a situation or setting up a stage for you to share your life or your story with someone, it's for his glory. And you don't have to worry about, now she's not going to look up to me or she's going to disrespect me or anything like that, because you may just be what she needs, just so she won't feel like, oh, she do understand. Maybe she can really hear you now. Because I know growing up in the church, I'm looking at these older women. I'm not about to tell them my business because I'm thinking, you ain't never. I don't want you looking at me and your eyes get big and your mouth get twisted up and you're clutching the pearls. And being judged. I didn't want to feel like I was being judged. So what? I just got in this morning. I came to church. So what? I'm here. But I'm not going to tell you that because you already have made up in your mind who I am, you know, outside of what you know about me. And I think that's what the older women don't understand is that me as being an older woman, I would love to share my story with someone who I may have to hold her hand a little while, but she's going to get it.
Exactly.
You know,
exactly.
But I think everybody has that passion.
Yes, because
that's true.
We do. We all have a story to share with someone to help them mm-hmm. through a situation that they may be going through. Because you didn't go through that for nothing.
That's
you
right.
You didn't go
exactly.
through what you went through for you to hold on to it. It's for you to share and to walk somebody else through it because you came out victorious. They can too. He is no respectable person, and he gives you that to share with the next person or whoever crossed your path. I've always been a believer of that. I just have. As soon as I found Christ, I knew Christ was taking me. God was taking me through stuff in order for me to be able to help someone else or walk someone else through. That same issue, you know, it might not always be exactly the same, but it was on the line. They dropped them in my path to help them because I knew how to get through it, you know, and that's the reason why I was asking. I think if the older women would think about that and take mm-hmm. that in consideration when they have somebody that God drops in their spirit or drops in their path to go ahead and walk them through what they've been through. Because that's what we need today. That's what we need to do, our younger women. The Bible tells us to do that. And
that's right.
Just,
and that's the foundation for it.
Hello?
Hello?
Go ahead. Hello?
Okay, yes.
This is Beverly Beasley. I was listening to this, you guys talking. And you asked the question why older women don't give their stories to young women.
Yeah.
A lot of times when I've met the young women, sometimes they don't really want to hear what you
exactly.
did years ago and how you came through that years ago because they have the belief that what we did then and what they do now is two different time zones. And what we did and how we got through it doesn't have anything to do with them. So it's very hard to talk to them and give them your history and let them know that you've gone through those things when about 10 or 15 minutes into the conversation or maybe first five minutes of the conversation, they've turned you off. So that's one of the reasons that older women don't get involved with the younger ones now because they don't have very much respect for you or for your what you're trying to give to them. So sometimes you just they just feel like the only thing they can do is pray for them, and you know if they ask them for some help, you can give them the help then. But I know myself when you try to step out with them, they really just don't want to listen. They know all the answers, but they don't know any of the questions.
I agree with what you're saying as well. I agree what you're saying as well, period. And I do also believe sometimes it's the delivery of how you speak to an older person or a young person. It's the delivery. If an older lady, older than me, came to me and was telling me anything, I have to stand and really look at her and look at her life, you know, and I listen to what she has to say. But if it comes off as just judgmental to me, or if, you know, like maybe I'm feeling like I'm being belittled or, you know, or something like that, I would turn off. Because that, to me, and that may be how she presents herself, and maybe that's the only way she knows how, but for me, it's not in love. I can't speak for everybody else. If you come to me in a judgmental type of way, and I'm not saying every older woman does this, that's not what I'm saying, but there are some older women that have said stuff to me, and it has been like, well, you need to da-da-da-da-da-da-da. But you haven't shared with me anything that you've done to let me know that you're speaking from experience. What you did is you saw something, may not be the total all of me, but you saw something that didn't rub you correctly, and now you want to come and correct me, and I don't even know your story. I don't know anything about you. I'm going to listen to what you have to say, but to take it into serious consideration, if your delivery was judgmental, I'm not going to disrespect you. I'm going to say, yes, ma'am, and that's going to probably be it, because if the delivery came out wrong, I heard you, but I didn't. And I'm not saying that every delivery is correct. I'm not saying that every younger person's mind is open like mine is. I'm not saying any of that. I'm just speaking from my experience.
Amen.
And that, you know what?
That's something to consider. That is the delivery.
I asked one young lady, I said, who do you admire in the church? It was a young lady. I said, who do you admire in the church? Do you see anybody that you admire, a woman, man, anybody? They said no. And the reason why she said no is because she knew everybody's business in the church. And the reason why she knew everybody's business is because people sit around and talk each other business in front of anybody. So then that discredits a lot of people in the church. Now, they don't talk the good part of your business. They don't talk about how you made it through, how God has changed you, or none of that. They're talking your business in a negative way. And so then a young person is like, how are you going to sit and tell me this, that, and the other, and you did that, that, that? Well, they don't know when this was done. They don't know that God delivered you from that. They don't know anything of the Christ in it. They just heard some other people talking, and they heard it, and now they formed an opinion about you. So when you come to say something to them, they're shut down.
Yeah, that's so true.
It is true.
Now, and, you know, that's why we have to get away from the churches, because it does have a bad reputation of not really being there to help but to hinder. I know a young lady, it was an older woman in the church, told a young lady, hey, you need to, you know, tone your dress down, not dress that way when you come to church. And she was like, well, then you buy me some clothes, because this is the only thing I had. And so so that kind of shut her down. But the thing of it is that before we start trying to
well, you don't know the story. You can't. It's the way you approach people.
That's
like, and God will work on her heart. If she has something else at home, God's going to change that. First, you got to get them in.
That's right. That's right. That is right.
You can't run
and
them
that's
out.
The thing is, they're not coming. They're not coming because they feel like it's too much judgmental there.
That's
too much politicking. It's just too much. So I'm definitely on a mission. It's not geared towards the church. It's geared towards these young women and bringing them back to Christ. He said that he wants his daughters to come back, and he doesn't want any, you know, no religion. He wants a relationship, and they don't know how to have a relationship with him. You know, they
come
get
on.
In the church, and they get off into the religion, and they start acting like Sister So-and-so acts, but she don't have a relationship, so they don't have a relationship because they don't know what it looked like. And so God said he needs his daughters to know what a relationship with him looked like, and he needs women that have a heart for young women to bring them back. And I'm on a mission, if I got to do it by myself, to get these young women back, because they are creating the future. And if we don't reel them in, we're going to be living in a world that we don't even recognize, because there's no God in them. And if you look at today's world, you look at TV, you look on the Internet, Satan is taking over, and we're sitting by idly to sin. Oh, well, you know, we're going to pray for them. No, we need to get out there and be on that battlefield fighting for the Lord. And the way we do that, we go out there and we bring them back. It's time out for playing church. I don't even want to play church. I want to be about my Father's business in building up his kingdom with a relationship with him.
Amen. Well, ladies, we are winding down. It's been such a good conversation, and we've got like 6 minutes to go. I was wondering if there's anybody else on the line that would like to have a comment. I see 6831, and I see 2560. Would either one of you ladies like to have a comment? Okay. Well, I thank you for joining us anyway tonight. Thank you, Lady Henderson, for introducing us to Miss Demetria. LeBlanc. Ms. LeBlanc, would you go ahead and give us your information on how you can be reached, where your book can be found and purchased, and your email address, your website, and all the good stuff about you?
Okay, well, you can find my book on at the website Divine, that's D-I-V-I-N-E, hyphen, daughters, .com. And it's also located on Amazon and Barnes & Noble website as well. And when you connect to the website, you will get the email address and all that information on there, the Facebook page and all that is on the Divine Daughters website. So if you could just go to divine-daughters.com, it's all on there.
Amen. Well, we thank you so much for sharing that information with us tonight. We thank you for being on the show with us tonight. We're just so grateful to have you and for your purpose in life, because I believe you found it. And most of us are still searching, but that's what we're about. That's what my sister, my friend, is all about. We want to share information, resources, and different aspects to our sisters that are listening, and for this same reason, to help them, to get them to be able to trust in someone, someone that they can go to, someone that they can talk to, confide in. We often say we are our sisters' keepers, and if we need each other, we are here for you, listening audience. We thank you for listening tonight, and if there is anything else that you would like to comment on, I would like for you to go ahead and give your final comment tonight, Ms. LeBlanc, on what you would have the young ladies to believe and trust in, or give us your final comment for tonight.
Well, first of all, I just want to say once again, thank you all for the opportunity to share with you on tonight. God has just been so good, and he is just working this thing out for his purpose. And basically, for what I would like to leave is that we need to start reaching out to our younger women. We need to bring them back into the fold. We need to mentor them and be a trustworthy vessel for them to come to, because they are hurting and they need us. And a lot of times they don't have anybody. And I just feel like we need to do better. We need to do more. So I just encourage each and every woman, if they know a young lady that's in their lives that might need some help, to reach out to them, because they need us and we need to be available for them. And I just thank God for this opportunity. I ask God to bless you all and your families, and just thanks so much. I appreciate it.
You are certainly welcome. We do thank you for sharing with us tonight. I'm going to make one announcement, and then I'm going to let you close the program with prayer. That's the way we end all our programs, okay? So what I want to announce that we, the Shady Grove Outreach Ministry, has partnered with Linda Jordan Ministries to do a Get It All Out Summit. This summit will be held June the 28th at the First Free Will Baptist Church in Duncanville, DeSoto. Anyway, it's at Clark Road and Wheatland. Duncanville. And it will be from 10 to 4. We will be serving light breakfast, and then we will have a full lunch. We will also be passing out literature. We'll be having entertainment, Christian entertainment, and then we will have classes where we'll break off and talk to the young men and women about the problems that they're having in society today. I think it's going to be a great, great event. So I'm asking all of y'all that know the ages is 13 to 24. You can go to the website, Linda Jordan Ministries and .com, I believe, and look at her website. And if you need further information, you can contact me, and I will give you a flyer, or you can pass it out to the youth that you know at your church, or if you want to be involved in any of the activities or make a donation, please let me know that we're trying to get our youth involved in knowing about Christ and helping them through their situations. It's called Get It All Out Youth Summit, June 28th at the First Free Will Baptist Church. Would you go ahead and pray us out?
Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you right now, Lord. First, Lord, thank you, Lord, for another day, Lord, that wasn't promised. Thank you, Lord, for watching over us, Lord, and just bringing us home safely. Father, we just thank you right now for this opportunity to share your word, Lord, and to just share life, Lord, with each other, Lord, to lift each other up, Father. Father, we just ask right now that something was said that might touch somebody's heart, Lord, that they may go out and do your will for their lives, dear Heavenly Father. Father, we ask right now that you would just let us be on a purpose, Lord, a mission for you, Lord, doing your will, your way, Father. Father, we just ask right now that you lift each and every person up right here, Lord. I ask that you would touch each and every one of them in a mighty way, Lord. Father, I ask that you would come into their homes, Lord. I don't know what they need, Lord, but you do, and I just ask that you would just touch, Lord, what needed. Father, I just thank you right now for all that you've done, all that you're doing, and all that you're going to do, Lord. And, Father, I lift all the ministries up to you right now, Lord, that are just trying to do what you would have them to do, Lord, to lift up your kingdom, Father. Father, I thank you right now. I praise you, and we'll be so careful to give you all the glory and all the praise. For it's in your daughter's son, Jesus' name, we do pray. Amen.
Amen and amen. Thank you, ladies, for joining us tonight. Minister Henderson, thank you so much for introducing Ms. LeBlanc tonight. Ms. LeBlanc, thank you for your time and your sharing with us. And we will most certainly hope to have you back on our show soon. Have a late day. Well, we'd love to have you again. So thank you, ladies, for joining us tonight.
Can she come back next week?
I'm sure. I'm sure we can arrange that. If she's available.
Yes. Next week, same time, same station.
God bless you. Okay, and we will talk to you later. Give me a call. I think I did give. You can give my number, or I'll call you or text you my number. If this is your, is this your cell phone number that I have, or is that your home
number?
Okay.
It's cell phone.
I will text you my telephone number, and we can talk about next week.
Okay, sounds good.
Okay. Thank you for joining us. Good night, everybody. I love
you
all.
Good night, and thank you, Dee.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you.
All right. Love you. Goodbye.